Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Welcome to episode 82 of Comic Book Nation, the official podcast of comicbook.com. I am your host, Kofi Outlaw, and with me again on this fine episode is my co-host, Matthew Aguilar.
What up?
And my other co-host, Janelle Wheeler.
Hey, everybody.
And creeping out in the cut over there, we got the original Trinity member, looking fresh, shaved, and baby-faced himself, Mr. Brandon Davis is back with us. He's been on the road for a minute, but good to have you back, buddy.
Hello, everybody.
So, we are back, and we are here today because, I mean, I could pretend like we have a whole lot to talk about, and we kind of do, but there is one thing going on, the major thing happening today, which is we have begun the streaming wars with the launch of Disney Plus. So, Disney Plus is now live. Disney Plus is up after all our talks, so after all this time. The new Disney streaming service is online, and we are here dipping our toes in.
Kind of, sort of.
We're starting to get a few toes, you know, a couple toes deep into this. And we're going to talk about some things that are going on with the Disney Plus launch today. There are some reveals from Marvel we're going to break down. BD kind of like went Midnight Warrior on us and was digging through all things Marvel on Disney Plus, so he's going to help us walk through all that. And, of course, we all have dipped in and watched Star Wars The Mandalorian, the first live-action Star Wars series. And, of course, as they promised, quite a few surprises in this Star Wars show. Quite an ending to this first episode, so we are going to talk full spoilers about that. Plus, Matt is going to break down the new comics of the week, as always. And we have a new Sonic the Hedgehog trailer, and, like, let's start there, because we're going to go full Disney Plus in a minute, but let's start. So, the Sonic the Hedgehog trailer came out, like, how long ago? I don't even remember. We've done 80
months?
Episodes, and I don't even remember. It was, like,
like 3 or 4 months ago,
yeah,
probably.
Yeah, it was a long time ago.
I didn't
ago.
Even see the first one.
Good, because I was going to say, it was a thing that many of us wanted to see burned with fire. I think only Matt was, like, okay with it.
Me and Jim
were making apologies for that. But now we see it just how wrong, really, really wrong you two were about this.
Actually, we
thing.
Were right.
No, you were
no,
wrong.
No, we were right. We
to
said,
excuse that earlier Sonic trailer,
we
when
like,
we got this now upgraded Sonic trailer
it's
with
the
like
same
an actual
trailer.
But with an actual
okay, the,
Sonic the Hedgehog that doesn't haunt my dreams.
Yeah, Sonic looks great.
What did we say at the time? We said we don't like the design, but we like the rest of it. And it's the same. It's the same voice coming out of his mouth. It's the same type of humor. Jim Carrey looks great as Robotnik yet again. And I love the new redesign. I think it looks great. I think it looks way better. But that's what we said at the time. And so revisionist history over here in this chair.
I feel like you're the guy who like had a flip phone and the first time somebody gave him an iPhone, they were like, look, it's the same phone. It makes calls, it sends texts. What is it? You gave it a fancy upgrade.
Between the two trailers, like, did anything else change or is it just Sonic?
There's like one
no,
extra.
Yeah, there's a couple.
Yeah, there's a couple.
Like, did Jim change at all? Did Jim Carrey like his outfit
no.
or anything
no.
like that?
Okay. Jim Carrey is still Jim Carrey.
Then why did everybody give him so much crap?
Because the design was not great.
Well, yeah, Sonic looked terrible. Like, I didn't even see the trailer, but the memes all over Twitter were fantastic.
It was crazy creepy, that old Sonic with his weird legs.
And the teeth. Yeah. Man, those teeth were really
like,
special.
Yeah. And now it's like, now there's a movie I want to see. It's a little Sonic I want to hang out with. That's a big difference.
No, I like the new design, but all you people coming on and saying it's a completely different trailer. Oh. No, it's not. No, it's not the exact same thing.
I mean, it's very different.
It's not.
Yeah.
It's not.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
not.
Yeah, it's like if they made Back to the Future with that original guy instead of Michael J. Fox. Like, it's the same movie. Blah, blah, blah. But, like, no, it was a big difference. Things changed.
Imagine if they got the design. Imagine if they got the look of Captain Marvel totally wrong in the trailer, and the trailer was the same, and then they released a different trailer where she actually looked good. You would be saying something different.
And I would be saying what I just said, which was the design was not great, which I said at the time. But everything else about the trailer, the tone, the humor, the characters, if you didn't like the first one, I don't know how you like this one. It, all of that, and
it's
by
a more
the way,
likable
per- the
I mean,
time,
it's the entire thing about, like, that's why leads get replaced and things
but
all
we
the time.
Can revisit the conversation in his office at that time.
Really?
And
this
Charlie
is the grenade
and
thing?
You. No, I'm just saying, like, all these people were, like, crapping on
are we
the
dumb
trailer,
again?
Not just the design. You guys were saying it wasn't funny, the jokes were lame, everything else about it. The only redeeming thing was Jim Carrey at the time.
I mean, you have to just give it up that maybe we couldn't see past this creepy Sonic that was just throwing off everything else.
I mean, your opinion is your opinion. I'm just saying,
true.
I'm just saying for
it
me,
was pretty creepy.
Everything else was like, oh, this is, I like this. Fix the design and then we're good. And they did. Okay.
Because of our outrage.
Yeah, bravo to
not
everybody, all the consumers.
Because of our outrage.
Those Christmas trees, those Christmas trees under the staff, the visual effects staff on this movie are going to be fully stocked for those kids this year.
Yeah.
They have been
that's
working.
Fair.
Yeah.
That's absolutely fair.
Yeah. All right. So moving right along from this strange grenade explosion over Sonic the Hedgehog, we are going to go into the... launch of Disney Plus, but first let's make another stop because there is something we've been checking in every week with Watchmen, and now you, Janelle, this is a big deal for you. You've like broken through to the other side because you've been brave enough to jump into this HBO Watchmen series with us without actually having
any knowledge
of the Watchmen thing before, which
movies.
Was it was interesting to get your opinion when you were just somebody watching. Trying to understand why squids are falling from the sky and whatnot. And why we're having these strange, you know, not safe for work callbacks to Dr. Manhattan and like, what's going on with all this?
That's what happened. That was the third episode.
So we got you to sit down and watch the actual, like, Zack Snyder's Watchmen movie, which, you know, I know some purists will be like, that's not it. But, like, you know, that's what we're going to work with here.
Yeah.
Because we are working with... an adaptation, a screen adaptation. So we're just going to give you the movie to watch. So tell us real quick, what did you think of Watchmen? And now what do you think about the show now that you've actually seen this movie?
First and foremost, if you have not watched the movie, you're fine two episodes in, right? Episode one, episode two, you're good. Like the only thing that's kind of confusing is the squid situation, but that's not a big part of the story yet. You get to episode three and you don't know who anyone is. You don't understand why our lead female character is famous. You don't, I mean, it is so confusing. And that's when I looked at the guys and I was like, I don't know what's going on. And they gave me a login to watch the movie. So I'm pumped. I really feel like if you enjoy the show, you should watch the movie. It changes everything. I enjoyed the movie. I really liked it. I love the artistic, like, I love the weird vibe. I love the soundtrack. The music's really weird and, like, it's kind of futuristic and bright, weird colors. I really like the dark side of comic books and things like this, like, less like Captain Marvel and more like weird. This is eerie. And I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it.
It's just really, it's funny because you just described, like, Zack Snyder's.
I loved it.
Approach to DC.
I was about it. I was all about it. I'm a huge fan. And now it makes me love the show. Like, so I went back and rewatched every episode after watching the movie. And I caught so many callbacks, like so many things that tie into the movie that I was like getting goosebumps. I'm like, oh my God, this is so cool. So I really, you need to watch the movie if you haven't watched the movie, if you're watching the show. I can't believe I'm saying that, but.
You and me were both on. The like you like Watchmen, right?
Yeah,
I did too. Okay, I didn't know.
Yeah.
I didn't know where you stand on Watchmen. Like,
it's fine. I mean, I'm not a hater of it. I think it's a good. It's fine.
Yeah.
So, I think they explained everything very nicely.
So now that we're four episodes in, because this latest episode continues to deepen some of the mysteries and callbacks. We get several callbacks to Vietnam, which plays a big part in Watchmen, especially with the comedian's story and Dr. Manhattan's story. There's increasing kind of evidence behind this fan theory about what's happening to Adrian Veidt or whatever you want to say his name is, Jeremy Irons' version of him, possibly being kind of a prisoner of Dr. Manhattan.
Oh my gosh. And I felt that so much after watching the movie.
Yeah.
I was like, this makes so much more sense.
Yeah.
And I mean, obviously, like, this last episode is very disturbing. How he, I thought his little servants, or like, I thought they were robots.
Yeah. So did I.
It is extremely disturbing.
Yeah. I couldn't actually rewatch that scene. I was like rewatching the episode and I was like, I'm skipping
it. I skipped it too. I could not watch it again. It was so disturbing for me, especially when like they transform, he ages them very quickly into the age that he wants them to be. And the screams and shrieks are like,
yeah, he's trying to play music more. It's like, because he just carries around these babies and then he like puts them. It's a very Death Stranding. Like he's like literally has a bag full of babies and he like grows them to be his servants. And
he
then he
puts
just,
them in a machine.
Is that what happened to Death Stranding?
One of the things is you are carrying around like this baby as your pod.
But that's, I mean, no, they don't like age them or anything.
That's just him because he's loony.
It's just about people carrying around babies.
He doesn't for some care. Reason,
like, a popular thing right now.
Wow, what a year.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So, like, yeah, that scene's really disturbing because you know what he's been doing to all of these clone servants he keeps, like, growing, and it's pretty horrific. And, like, yeah, so there's all these evidence that he's trying to maybe get out of this. I mean, he straight up says it's a prison in this one.
Yeah.
Like, I thought it was a paradise, it's a prison. And they're suggesting that maybe Dr. Manhattan, because Dr. Manhattan let him go at first when he kind of did this thing to kind of scare everybody out of World War III, but it would stand to reason eventually Dr. Manhattan was like, well, I'm not going to just let you.
Yeah.
I think what had happened was Warshak's diary then became published, and then everybody finally, like the public, realized what he had actually done and the amount of people that he killed.
Yeah.
And now they're like, well, we have to imprison. Like, there's no way. This is just a secret between us. Like, the world knows, and we have to imprison him.
Yeah.
He's so terrible.
Look at that. Janelle Wheeler.
Watchmen fan.
Expert.
Yes.
Yeah. In under a couple of weeks.
That was pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Just under a couple of weeks. There we go.
See, yeah. I'm actually thinking that this should be my first comic that I, like, really go after hard and, like, start reading.
Ooh.
Awesome. That's how much I love it.
A whole... I mean, we haven't even had...
You could probably finish it before Doomsday Clock finishes.
Whoa!
Probably.
Oh, wow.
You were not wrong.
Yeah. Oh, man. We have to get out the ultimate cut with all the whole kind of comic book within Watchmen that exists. Oof. That gets to another level.
Oh, my gosh.
But all right. So that's our check-in with Watchmen. We're going to keep it because we are plugging for the show. I still really enjoy this. I'm loving it. So we're going to keep plugging it, but moving right along, let's get to the real thing we're talking about today. When we come back, we're going to jump into all things Disney Plus, so be sure to stay tuned for all of that.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right, so Disney Plus is up, and Bob Iger, I'm sorry. It hasn't gone as smoothly as you probably hoped, because Disney Plus down is trending as a trending topic right now. I just did a great post with everybody sending in their really messed up screenshots and memes, and just people are savage.
Oh, good to know, because I thought it was just me. I had the spinning wheel of death throughout entire episode, like, right in the middle, it was like, it had like the blue and then the Disney, the like little plus in there. I'm like, oh, that's a nice touch as it's loading. And then it just stayed there for the entire episode of Mandalorian. And I was going,
something cute to fool you. That's what Disney does.
Yeah. I was like, I'm not even going to mess with this.
Wait, how long have I been sitting here?
Yeah.
I can't even get there.
It showed the whole show. So it just had
this is our sporadic review of Disney Plus's launch.
I can't even get to the spinning thing.
Well, my thing is that my Xbox is now talking to me in Dutch because I switched it to Netherlands at 11 p.m. last night so I could get in and see it, and I logged in and it was like,
it was a foolproof plan until
it was straight up gold member my Xbox.
Oh,
but
my God.
It worked. I got on Disney Plus and but it's like,
but once you're in, now you can't
get
back
out.
Yeah,
I'm stuck. I don't know how to get back to settings.
Well, I mean, Well, that's a good segue, because you did make this sacrifice not without reason. You were helping out the old company by getting in there and getting into this Marvel stuff. We don't have these new Disney Plus Marvel Studios shows yet. They're coming starting next year. But we did get a little something to kind of tease us as Marvel. So they did tease us with something called Marvel Expanding the Universe, which was a kind of look at... I haven't watched it yet. BD, you've watched it, right?
I watched it like 3 times now.
And is it just about the Disney Plus series?
It's all about the Disney Plus shows. I mean, it's like, it was essentially like what it gives you the experience of going to Comic-Con without going to Comic-Con. It's footage of Kevin Feige on stage. It's concept art that you only saw at Comic-Con. And I have a feeling that this won't be the last time we see something like this. But it's all Disney Plus show centric. There's nothing new about the 3 shows that are slated for the end of that run, which are Moon Knight, Ms. Marvel, and She-Hulk. But we got our first look, and these weren't even Comic-Con images. These were concept art that were released for the first time of like Falcon, U.S. Agent, Bucky, Sharon Carter, nothing of Wanda or Vision.
Falcon and the Winter Soldier. Yeah. And Rupert Wyatt, the guy from like Overlord and Lodge 39, he'll be U.S. Agent. Kind of joining it. And Falcon, yeah, he got a new costume. Sharon Carter did.
Mm-hmm.
Who else? Did Bucky?
Bucky's in like a American colored suit. It's like red, white, and blue with like kind of a whiter but still silver metal arm. The Falcon costume it's not the Captain America Falcon costume. It's more of like a comic, classic comic.
Pretty
with like
slick
the gold.
Costume.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I can't wait to see it with wings. I hope it's got the white wings.
Yeah.
Like it's got like a gold visor, like on the glasses. It's gold.
Like 70s Falcon.
Black and red and white. Nice. Yeah. I mean, it's like a classic Falcon. I mean, I'm sure he's going to have a red, white, and blue Falcon America costume, which will be really cool. They didn't give us anything for Loki really, except the fact that they said you have a huge time traveling component. The What If stuff though, they showed footage, and that it's interesting how far along What If is, because like the footage is like it looks done.
I mean, the animation, yeah, you got to start.
Yeah,
like,
but that's not till summer of 2021 that comes out. So they showed Peggy Carter as Captain Britain. They showed zombie Captain America fighting Bucky on a train, which is
so
like
cool.
3 East. Like it's like a reference to them on the train in the first Avenger. Then it's Bucky catches the shield and throws it back, which is a Winter Soldier nod. And then there's a Marvel Zombies nod. There's skinny Steve Rogers in a Mark I Iron Man suit in World War II, World War I, whatever war that was, with Captain Britain and T'Challa as Star-Lord, which is cool. I mean, it's just going to be and a look at Jeffrey Wright's Watcher, which.
Oh,
cool. But yeah, I mean, it's just...
Yeah, I think the two, oddly enough, that people sleep on are WandaVision and What If, and I feel like those two are going to be, like, really highly entertaining.
Mm-hmm. Well, like, it's interesting, like, because Wanda is going to go straight from WandaVision to Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness.
Apparently so is Loki.
He very well might.
No, I mean, that is confirmed that Loki, like, yeah, I think it was, like, over the weekend or something that Loki will feed right into.
Oh, interesting.
Doctor Strange.
I mean, that makes sense because it's alternate realities and stuff. But I think Doctor Strange could appear in... WandaVision.
Oh my gosh.
I think that's not out of the realm of possibilities.
That's my favorite. He's my favorite of all
time. Doctor
Strange? Doctor Strange is my favorite.
Oh my God, that's awesome.
You're a Cumberbatch fan?
Yes, huge.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Why?
I just love Doctor Strange because of like his story. I'm really into the like Buddhist training and like mentally being able to like unlock different dimensions and time.
Are you trying to get to the astral plane? I mean,
yes.
Already been on that podcast.
It only makes sense.
Your godhood, like,
I'm a huge Whovian.
With this reality.
I love.
So it would only
time.
Be like
ready to go
it's a lower tier if you're trying to become a master of the mystic arts. It's underneath God. I'm still. I'm So, yeah, all right. So there you go. Yeah.
And there's the deleted scene from Avengers Endgame, which we're all like, well, good thing it was deleted.
Oh, the whole thing?
Oh, was it bad?
No, no, no. Oh, I don't know. Kneeling. I don't think that's there. No,
the Catherine. Kneeling? Yeah.
Your favorite bonus scene ever.
Catherine Langford from, can we say Netflix while talking about Disney Plus? Netflix is 13 Reasons Why. Catherine Langford makes an appearance, and it's like when Tony Stark snaps his fingers wherever you go, like where Thanos saw young Gamora. Tony sees older Morgan H. Stark, has the cheesiest cut. And I like to think it would be punched up if it was cut for the movie, and it wasn't. I think like they cut it for the sake of looking at it. They looked at it and they were like, nah. But I think that if it was in the movie, it would have been tighter and better. But it's just so cheesy. And he says, I love you 3000. And I think that was one I love you 3000 too many. And it would have taken the like allure out of that mm-hmm. line.
Yeah, I think yeah. it would have been powerful if he just like saw it. Like, I don't think many dads with daughters would have been like dry eyed if he just got to see that before he like passed and I didn't even see.
Yeah, but at the same time, like people would have been like, who the hell is she?
No, oh, yeah.
You know, because it's an
I mean,
older.
We already had one of those in that movie anyway, so probably.
Yeah, you already had Emma Furman step in as Cassie Lang.
Or not even, like, dude, at the end, Ty, what's his name from Iron Man 3?
Oh, like, Ty Simpkins.
Yeah,
oh,
like yeah. We already had too many possible, like, that's right. Hey, who the hell is that kid things like going on? Let's not pile those on, yeah. I guess.
Forget about
Harley Keener.
Yeah. I mean, the way it was cut in the end was probably for the best way from everything I've seen. So, like, yeah, I don't know.
Between that and the kneeling, they made some good choices about what not to put in the movie.
Yeah. And that's always important. It is important. Yeah.
Absolutely.
So, Matt, Disney Plus so far, what are you thinking? Not enough Lady and the Tramp?
It's great. Can't get in. Can't get into the to the service to watch anything. Was all excited to watch Mandalorian. Couldn't
I feel
do
like
that.
This is a good preview for what the whole first year of the streaming wars are going to be. We thought it was going to be like streaming services warring with each other, but it's going to be like us warring with our logins.
Yeah, it's just bandwidth wars. It's like, that's all it is. Yeah, so I mean, it'll be great once I can get in and watch some stuff.
No, but I mean, I see what they've done and what they built. Like, yeah, you begin to look at the lineup of movies and TV series, and you're like, wow. And they just put it in your face. They're like, yo, welcome to Disney Plus. We got, you want Captain Marvel, Endgame? You want some Avatar? You
Gargoyle.
Want
is trending right now.
Gargoyles, yeah. Like, yeah.
Gargoyles.
Love Gargoyles.
Oh, and we got some new stuff. Lady and the Tramp, Noelle.
What is? It is.
I know it's trending. Yeah. Why?
Because Gargoyles.
Oh, no.
I love Gargoyles.
Wait, hold up, partner.
How
hold
did
up.
You
hold
not?
Up. Wait, wait, wait.
He's young. He's so young. He's so much younger than us.
I had Gargoyles. I am so much younger than you, but also I had Gargoyles.
Yeah, you don't understand.
Why do you not like? Okay, why do you not?
Are
like,
you really going to go home this weekend and watch Gargoyles?
Keith David's voice made us feel safe in the night.
You're going to be disappointed. You're going to go watch it, and you're going to be like, "Well, it was better when I was a kid."
Gargoyles made us know America was strong.
I mean, yeah, I've done that. I'm still going to watch it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because it's
going to rewatch Gargoyles.
Positives outweigh its negatives. I'm sure the animation sucks.
Plus, I got kids I could put it off on. I'd be like, I'm not watching Gargoyles. You're watching Gargoyles.
You're just trying to find a reason to spend $12 at this point.
If you watch the X-Men animated series right now, it's rough in parts. Like, the dialogue's over the top, and the animation kind
of
sucks.
The Wolverine screams.
Yeah, but like, I still enjoy it for what it is. I mean, I still enjoy it.
Enjoy it. Good for you.
I'm going to go watch Darkwing Duck. Man. Rescue Rangers.
I'm happy for you guys.
Oh, Rescue Rangers. Yes. Oh, my gosh.
Rescue Rangers.
Stop. Don't start it. Don't start. Man, the gargoyles are made out of stone. They got more heart than you, dog. Come on.
I did do something yesterday.
SpongeBob?
Rather watch SpongeBob.
God. He's young. I'm telling you.
Also,
I know.
SpongeBob is our... You come from whenever.
SpongeBob is our sister property, by the way. By the way, SpongeBob is our sister property, so I'm just on the team here.
Viacom,
excuse me.
That's why he watches it. Yeah. It's going to ruin it, though, when they bring Venom in. So,
go to bed.
Get ready for that disappointment.
I'm out. Stop it. So, yeah, I mean, so everybody's have apparently something to watch. I'm way behind on my Disney Plus, like, watching. Like, I've only gotten through The Mandalorian, which I guess is as
I haven't
thing.
Gotten through The Mandalorian, so if you are talking spoilers, I'm going to leave.
What?
Yeah.
I haven't either, but they're going to spoil it for me because I
don't want it spoiled.
Disney.
I haven't had a chance to watch it. I was up working until 1 in the morning doing Marvel
can't watch
stuff.
Disney.
Fine. We're going to do something that nobody planned for. Get out of here. Go get Charlie Ridgely. Get him in here.
Has he watched Mandalorian?
Oh, yeah. You know
I'll go
has.
Get Charlie.
Yeah, go get Charlie. We're going to do a live
continue.
Switch. Don't tell Brittany. She'll freak out.
Yeah, no. We're doing a live switch.
Doing a live switch.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no.
Jim, live switch.
Jim's curious. He's walking
oh,
by.
No.
Oh,
Jim's,
no.
Jim's catching on. Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Get Charlie. Is he right there?
He's not there.
All right, it's just us.
We'll I will talk. Say that I did watch the Nutcracker, the Disney Nutcracker yesterday on Netflix. Yesterday, because I knew it was going to go away. Whatever. just to be like, all right, one last support for Netflix. And then,
I mean, I don't hate on that. Arabian Dance is one of my favorite songs of all time.
So. It's really cute. It's a great little Christmas movie.
It's what I used to keep the beast on the chain, Matt. The Arabian Dance from Nutcracker. It's like my program song they played for me during my born days. You know what I'm talking about. But anyway, so we don't know if Charlie Ridgely's ever coming in here, so we're going
to
keep it moving.
I have plenty to say about this.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about Star Wars The Mandalorian. So this has finally arrived. The first live-action Star Wars series is here. And yeah, man, we were really psyched. I've been watching that first teaser like endlessly, which I still think is like one of my favorite teasers or trailers period of the year.
It's been a nice welcome respite from Joker's trailer.
Yeah, I mean, well, I mean, the music's just, I mean, it's kind of just as dark and ominous. It's just, you know, I mean, you know what I like, Matt. You know what I like. Like, it is what it is. But, so the first episode is out. We are going to be talking full spoilers for The Mandalorian. So if you have not watched The Mandalorian, please do not write us angry letters and or one-star reviews. We are telling you right now, we are going to be talking full spoilers because there is a lot to kind of dissect here. So jumping right in, let's go around first. I thought it was good, The Mandalorian. I think like all things Star Wars these days, it's trying to balance a lot of elements of the franchise. Like there's some darker kind of harder edge Rogue One-y kind of stuff. There's some lighter kind of prequels kind of stuff, especially like there's a whole creature riding segment, which I feel like now is like baked into every Star Wars story formula.
You gotta have a creature.
It was great.
Gotta be like a creature.
Yeah.
And so something you gotta ride. Yeah, I know, but the whole CGI creature riding thing is like always kind of weird, but I liked a lot of the alien characters we met, especially Nick Nolte's character.
Are there Ewoks?
I don't know if they're going to be Ewoks or
are
not.
Are there Ewoks in the first episode?
No.
No, no, no. Oh, hey, here he is. Here he is. Here. Yeah. Hey, Charlie boy.
Live. Charlie's like, yeah, I know this.
Hey, get in here. So, if you guys are picking up, Mr. Charlie Ridgely's in here, a.k.a. Turn Up Charlie, who has been covering this Disney Plus stuff like crazy lately. You're going to have to talk like BD because we synced his mic to his audio. So, you're going to have to talk like BD.
I don't know if I have any Jersey accent in me.
No, you just gotta seem, talk as if you're like really tired. Wait, and you should be fine.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I am really tired. I stayed up last night to watch The Mandalorian, so.
I like the thing you mentioned.
I am, hey Janelle, how are you?
Hi, I'm great. It's good to see you.
I am a little tired, so maybe that'll
oh yeah, that's
pretty great.
Yeah, so we're talking The Mandalorian and we're just going around and saying kind of like what we thought about it. Yeah, I think it's trying to balance a lot of elements of the franchise, but I think it does so pretty well. I think this is a good side of Star Wars that we haven't explored before. And I think it holds together because Pedro Pascal can act his butt off even in a suit of armor with a helmet on. Just his presence and his kind of swagger is really good. He kind of nails that very noir, Western, gunslinger type thing. And that's how it begins. It begins basically with a saloon scene from an old Western where he kind of catches a bounty and... yeah, it goes down really well before we kind of get this expanding mystery. I think there's a nice sprinkling of kind of references to the past, teasing of mysteries that are going to be kind of coming down the pike. There is actual time for like character development in this first episode.
Love that.
You see the Mandalorian kind of partner with various people or thing like Nick Nolte's alien character, who I love. I have spoken as I feel like going to be.
I'm totally going to start doing that. Yeah, in every conversation with my boyfriend, I'm just going to be like, I have spoken.
I feel like you're going to start with your boyfriend and it's just going to expand. You're just going to be like ordering in a restaurant.
Yeah.
And he'd be like, ma'am, if you sure this special, you'd be like, I have spoken. He was a great character. Taika Waititi's droid character was a great one.
Love him.
There's a great, and it manages to actually bake. What I was surprised in is in the kind of climactic part of this episode, there's a lot of suggestions of like actual funny humor without being like ever too cheesy to me.
Yeah.
The Mandalorian's interaction with Taika Waititi's droid, there's like a running gag with the self-destruct thing, because the droid thinks like whenever there looks like the odds are bad and they're going to get taken, he's like, all right, well, I'm initiating my self-destruct sequence.
He's like, don't do it.
Yeah. He starts a thermal detonator in his chest and Mandalorian's like, whoa, like stop. Like we're going to get out of this. And so there's like a whole bunch of humor like that. And it ends on one hell of a reveal that, I mean, I know Star Wars fans are either going to be really divided about or like just buzzing and theorizing about or both. So... yeah, so I mean, I really enjoyed it. And
are you going to say what the reveal is?
I mean, yeah, I don't know why. We said we're spoilers.
Yeah, you said spoilers.
I don't know. I just always feel weird about it.
If you don't want to, that's fine. No, we can always dive into it at a later time.
So the job that he gets hired to do in kind of by Werner Herzog is to pick up a live cargo alive, which is, you know, not necessarily...
But if I know your job, if you need to kill.
Yeah, if you need to kill.
You need to kill, do it.
But he makes it very clear, bring this thing in alive, which is a very important thing to remember later on.
Yeah.
At the very
end
of the
episode. And they said it's a 50-year-old living being that you need to pick up. And it was like, that's all that we're going to give you. So they don't tell him anything.
Tracker, yeah.
So he fights through this whole army that's guarding this thing with this droid character. And they get in and they open this little pod where their kind of target is, and it's a tiny Yoda alien. Yeah.
Oh my God.
And he's so cute.
Yeah, it's like a
Speaking
baby
of Yoda. Gremlins, wait, what?
Yeah, it's like a baby Yoda who's like 50 years old, which is nothing in Yoda, because the guy Werner Herzog tells him, like,
oh my gosh,
some beings don't age the same, so it's just like a baby Yoda.
Oh my God, that's
the droid
amazing.
Wants to kill it because it's like, oh, probably best we kill it. And it's
well,
gonna-
so, that's what I was mentioning. The droid IG-11 says
he was ordered that,
like,
to kill
the
it.
Directive. I was told to bring this in dead, like to yeah. terminate on site.
Yeah.
And so they both established when they met, they both were working for the guild.
Yeah.
And then they were both given two very different directives. The Mandalorian was said, bring it in alive. I mean, if not possible, like we understand, but you won't get paid as much. Like you want to bring this in alive. IG-11 was given in the exact opposite order. And so there is something bigger at play, you know, based on where these orders are coming from and what and significance if, this baby
yeah,
holds.
And if everybody is who they say they are, like if Werner Herzog is like really working through the guild or if there's something else going
right.
on there. So, yeah. So the Mandalorian That's smokes awesome. The droid, oh which God. I was upset about. I wanted more Taika Waititi.
I mean, I think that we're
oh,
going to.
He's gone?
I think they were going to get more of that. Like there's the whole self-destruct sequence. I think that's going to be, that character's too good to go away.
Yeah.
So
I think
soon.
I hope they yeah. bring him back online. So like basically, but yeah, he gets the Mandalorian shoots him in the head before yeah. he can shoot the baby. And then the Mandalorian.
Cause it looks like they shoot the baby.
It looks like they shoot
for
the
a second.
Baby.
I was like, yeah. no,
no way.
Didn't.
Me too.
Like,
that would have been a really hard show. Dark. If they had like done that.
I mean, this show's already kind of dark, but
it's
like,
great. The first scene where he's like collecting his first bounty. I told you, I was so excited to see like kind of how they handle so much killing because he's,
yeah, we were talking about that door scene.
So I love the door scene where he like pulls a body yeah, through
and
the
it was
door
done in the
like
most
shows.
Star Wars way. Because when you watch,
yes,
we've seen it in the trailers, and I was like, that's going to be gruesome, and that's not going to fit the whole theme of Disney Plus, like the whole we want to be more for families and stuff. And I was really interested to see how they would balance that.
Yeah.
And I think you mean you're absolutely right. It's very like on that line. The way that they cut it, like it doesn't
it
lose
like
the
thumps.
Effect. You still see the leg.
Yeah.
See it from the door.
It doesn't lose
it's
it.
Really
but
cool.
But you still legs. Like it's
you
not
it.
Graphic.
Door
right.
The doorways.
It's
perspective
so great.
Back at him, and everybody in the bar is just like, "What the
fuck?" Yeah. You know? And that wasn't. He wasn't even. He was trying to get this other guy. Like he kills all of.
Yeah,
these.
He kills all these dudes who yeah. are trying to harass the guy he's actually there for.
This sounds awesome.
And so yeah. he goes up and the guy's
it's,
like,
it's
oh, thank
good.
You for taking care of
I
me.
Like
and
the
he
music
and he never
too.
Says anything. He just is staring at him. And he's like, okay, you can have my credits. And then he just puts down a hollow thing that shows that he's the bounty. And he's like, yeah, that alien guy, I don't know who plays him. I have to look it up.
It's
but,
very funny.
Yeah, it was very
funny. It was, I was just writing my review before I came in here. And I think this might be the most Star Wars show and or Star Wars thing and the least Star Wars thing at the same time. You know, it's such a departure from everything we know as Star Wars. It's basically a Clint Eastwood movie, which is awesome. But it's also like you talked about with like that humor is so exactly what Lucas was going for in the original movies. Like it's so funny, but in a way that isn't like over the top. And it's just kind yeah. of subtly, it's the, I love you. I know lines. Like it's those kind of, you know, it's Han's charm. Like that's the kind of like funny that we're getting, you know, in this show. And it's one of my favorite Star Wars traits is the franchise's ability to make like tertiary characters what hook you the most, you know, not from like a, just a marketing standpoint, from like a, you genuinely want to see more of them and you invest in them. And then you come around to the kind of lead characters along the way. And you feel that so much in The Mandalorian with Nick Nolte's character, with IG-11, you know, I think that Werner Herzog was like born to be a Star Wars villain. He's so good in that role. And yeah. like, It brings you in all the ways that Star Wars always
well,
has.
Like I said on
it's
Twitter
it's a
or something,
lot.
Like any series that has Carl Weathers and Werner Herzog, and I left Nick Nolte out and Nick Nolte, but definitely with Werner Herzog and Carl Weathers is a winner in my book, like already.
So question from someone who hasn't seen it, because you said Pascal is great, and now is he helmeted throughout most
yeah.
of
yep.
the show?
No,
all of the show.
The never takes thing. Off his helmet.
Okay, so does this, as a weird kind of tangentially related, does this kind of make you feel a little better about like a Halo movie because you can see that someone can actually pull it off with someone not taking
yeah
the helmet off?
I mean yeah
I guess
and it's also kind of like but it's also like really worked in like they're beginning to kind of show you if you haven't watched like Clone Wars and things like that, the animated series, like what Mandalore is all about and the actual culture of Mandalore. There's a whole kind of Mandalore cultural scene in the middle of it where it shows you like there's a mission, there's a higher purpose to like what he's doing. Basically, after he gets these guys in the beginning, he freezes them all in carbonite and like turns in his bounty, the guy, because he tries to escape on the ship. And like he finds all the carbonite and he's like, what's this? And the Mandalorian surprises him and just throws him in and like carbonites him. So he's collecting ore for payment, and he's very specific about like what he'll accept versus what he won't. He won't accept anything. He hates things from the Empire, blah, blah, blah. But he takes this, I forget it, I don't want to, Star Wars fans will come for me, it's like Blast Air Steel or something like that, I forget the exact name of it.
Beskar?
Beskar Steel, yeah. And so he gets that ore, and then he takes it back to kind of this other Mandalorian, this female Mandalorian who's a blacksmith, and we don't know who she is yet, and there could be a whole thing about that.
And there was flashbacks from his childhood, and the
what looks like droids and the Clone Wars.
Yeah, it was great.
And so he takes the bounties he's paid, the ore, and she melts it down and she creates like a shoulder pad, and that's the next piece of his armor.
Oh, cool.
So he's kind of like slowly in there talking. There's this whole kind of Mandalorian cultural thing about it's great that this lost kind of metal, because that's what they are. They're these famed warriors from the Outer Rim. Their armor and weapons are second to none, made from these ore that is, you know, unique to them. So he's kind of getting this stuff that the Empire came to Mandalore during, you know, the rise of the Empire and conquered it and subjugated it. And so, and mined, you know, weapons and used its ore. And so he's kind of reclaiming this and doing this whole kind of ritualistic thing. And then they make it back into their armor and he's kind of like rebuilding. So it's a whole metaphor, people, metaphor, like rebuilding Mandalorian culture, essentially. So
that's awesome.
Yeah. And so you get, I mean, this all happens in the first episode, like in the midst of
it's a lot of information, but it doesn't feel like information overload, even for someone who doesn't have like a ton of knowledge
with
the Star Wars universe and all of that. Like, I just enjoy it, but I haven't, you know, gone over and watched these movies and these animated series. Like, I don't really have a lot of knowledge in this, and I definitely enjoyed it. I hope it's not going to be another Watchmen situation where
no.
Like, but I really dug it.
They're definitely making this right now in Star Wars as a jumping on point for people. I mean, we're getting out of the Skywalker saga. So in after December, even all of that background will just be a different story. And all you gotta do is read wikis about like what is Mandalore, and that's about it.
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't watch the animated series and never watched all the sagas about Mandalore and all that stuff. So like, I don't think it's gonna be the same as Watchmen. Like, No squids raining, hopefully.
Which, by the way, just to bring it full circle, like I still don't understand the squid thing, even after watching the movie, because they made it seem like the bomb was.
Yeah, they did kind of change that up a little.
Yeah, they do
in the movie.
So. Dude, that's what I said.
That's more of a book situation.
Yeah. There's there's a whole other side.
But lucky for me, I know the guys at Comic Book, and I got a text message from Kobe saying, "Yeah, it was actually supposed to be a giant squid that smashed New York City." So
psychic squid. Yeah, it's a whole other thing. But we'll talk about that in the coming weeks, because I'm sure it's going to come up. But all right, any final thoughts, Mandalorian? I'm really psyched after that ending. We have another episode coming out this week on Friday.
Yeah.
We probably won't get to see it, so it'll be, I think, Janelle, you'll be back with us next week when we probably break that down.
This
will
be our Wednesday.
Yes.
So, all right. We'll talk about that then, but be sure to check that out. If you're going to Disney Plus, I don't think I have to tell you, but in case I do,
I'm more excited now about it. I was already excited before. I'm more excited now.
Of course
now.
You are. You were
let him log
baby
in.
Yoda and you were already
yes,
in.
I was in at the minute I said Baby Yoda.
All right. We got to get out of here soon. But Matt, you know, as always, on Wednesday, you got to take us and tell us what's hot at the comic shop this week and break it down for us.
Speaking of debuts, there's a really cool debut for DC Comics. So they have an imprint that is called Young Animal. It's kind of a different
rap name.
Difference. But yeah, well, that would fit. Wow, that's a good rap name.
Wow.
So they kind of do their own spins. A lot of times it's original characters or characters like no one's screwed with for a minute. But then they'll put their own spin on it. Doom Patrol, Animal Man, some of those characters. So this week they're actually doing a Green Lantern spin. So it's like a new character. The Green Lanterns like exist, but it's the first time that N.K. Jemisin has written a comic, and Jamal Campbell does the art. And this book is like, it's a mini series, so it's going to be self-contained. You don't have to go read a bunch of stuff. You just have to essentially know the premise of the Green Lanterns, which is like space cops. And they do a really good job of breaking that in. Joe, who is the Green Lantern here, which by the way, she looks like if Janelle Monáe were a Green Lantern. Like, it's so, like, that's what I kept thinking this entire time. I was like, oh, my God. It's like
we don't know that Janelle Monáe isn't a Green
Lantern. Exactly, right? So this book is fantastic. First issue's out. You can give it a chance. But it's like she's essentially called in to investigate, not even to investigate, to be this planet's cop who they haven't had a murder in like 500 years because they removed all emotion. So they didn't typically have a lot of people having anger and hurt and all a bunch of stuff, but now they do. And so it's hilarious to see like this planet, which has all these modern technological advances, be completely inept for things like, they actually ask her like, what do we do? Where do we put the body? Like they have a dead body and they don't know what to do because they haven't dealt with it for 500 years. They don't know what investigate means.
Haven't we all been there at 4 a.m.?
So they're like, what's procedure? And she's like, just like she's having to walk them through it. And it's hilarious. And she's so like funny and sarcastic. And you see her go like there's this whole society that in one issue, it's kind of like The Mandalorian. They build a lot. There's a lot of world building, but it doesn't feel like you're getting exposition shoved at you. It's funny. The art is gorgeous. I definitely recommend if you're going to check out a book, check out that one because it's fantastic. So that's big from DC. Also, fellow Green Lantern fans, they're doing these Tales of the Multiverse, of the Dark Multiverse, which is like all that dark Batman stuff. And they're doing these kind of what-if tales, essentially. And they do one with Blackest Night. So it's actually, the premise is kind of, instead of Sinestro sharing the white light towards the end of Blackest Night, he didn't. And he kept it all for himself because he thought he was the best one. And because of that, everything falls apart. Like, all the heroes die. Like, the place is, like, terrible. And he's the only, like, there's only, like, three people left that are not these zombie fight thing. And it's Lobo, Dove, and him. Wow. And he's, like, half white, half Black Lantern because, like, it ate into him, but the white light keeps it at bay. They do some really cool stuff with the story, and it does a lot. It's like the recap for Blackest Night is literally maybe the first two pages, and the rest is just original them taking stuff. And it does not end where you think it's supposed to. So I definitely recommend that as well. The Flash number 82, because of all the Lex Luthor taking over the world stuff, which that's way complicated, but essentially it sets up the place of the Rogues being able to run the world. So like Captain Cold runs Central
this
City.
This is Dark Reign DC.
Essentially, yeah. But this is, it's the story, the premise is not original. The stuff in between and like what happens to the Flashes, what, you know, the decisions that he makes to keep control of this place are. It's interesting. So I would definitely recommend that. Fallen Angels number one, continuing our Dawn of X. This is actually the last, I think last new series.
Yeah, from Dawn of X.
For Wave 1. And this one is X-23, Psylocke, and Cable. For Mr. Sinister fans, we'll find so much to love in this issue because I really enjoyed his parts. And if you're a fan of those, this is really a Psylocke book. The other characters have important parts to play, but this is really a Psylocke book. So if you're not interested in like her history and all this other stuff, you might not be interested in this, but it's really good. It's very different. X-Men number 2 is also out, so that's the second issue of
content. Mm-hmm. That's also out this week. I got a lot to read.
I am sad because this is the final issue of Unbeatable Squirrel Girl. Issue number 50. Squirrel Girl is amazing.
Squirrel
and,
Girl.
50 issues strong. Okay. It's so fun and funny and irreverent.
Oh, Janelle.
This is the last issue. I have to say goodbye to this series. It makes me sad. However, it's been really fun. So this is, I have to say goodbye.
Thank God that movie never happened.
What? No! Hellmouth number 2, the Buffy Angel crossover continues with its second issue. And then last but not least is Go-Go Power Rangers number 25.
Gotta get that plug in there.
Time. Damn right.
All right.
That's it.
That'll do it for this episode of Comic Book Nation. Thank you guys for riding with us as we talked about all this Disney Plus madness. If you guys are just getting into the show now, we put up new episodes every Wednesday and Friday on comicbook.com, where you can subscribe to our RSS feed, where you can regularly get updated with new episodes, or you can subscribe on your favorite listening platform. We're on iTunes, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Google Playlists. You can tell any Amazon Alexa device to fire up Comic Book Nation podcast, or you can go on the YouTube and find us there under the comicbook.com page. We have a whole section of our videos for these, for these video podcasts, broadcasts we do. If you want to continue the discussion with us, you can always find us at the hashtag Comic Book Nation, or you can talk to me at Kofi Outlaw.
You can find me at Matt Aguilar CB.
And you can find me at twitch.tv/JanelleWheeler and at Janelle Wheeler on all social media.
So, I don't know about you, Charlie. I don't know if we have a lower third, lower, like in there. You, but it'd be funny to cut to you and see what
we have.
If you
want, you can find me.
If you have Brandon Davis's name up there, put it up there. Let's get that lower third.
If you're going to yell at me, yell at him. It'll be fine.
Brian, we got loaded there. You got that's fine. We missed it, but it's okay. This is Charlie Ridgely. Why don't you just give him verbally, you can tell him. That'll do it for this episode of Comic Book Nation. As I said, thank you guys for riding with us. We'll be sure to see you on our next episode. Peace.
Deuces.